Lynn Page, 213-4009.
Good morning, everybody. This morning is the second in what will be a long series, I suspect, on this book called Callous Disregard by Andrew Wakefield. There's so much to talk about, and I guess I always go about doing these book reviews with the assumption that most of you aren't going to read the book and trying to tell you as much about it as possible. In the book, Wakefield provides some history regarding the diagnosis of autism. And it really started in 1908. Theodor Haller, an educator in Vienna, described a new syndrome. It was very rare, by the way, at the time, which he termed dementia infantilis. It was later termed child disintegrative disorder, and it referred to children who developed normally for a period of time and then started regressing. And the children that he described had experienced the loss of at least two of the following skills: language skills, social skills, and self-care, control over bowel and bladder function, receptive language skills, play skills, and motor skills. Additionally, the children that Haller described experienced a lack of functioning and impairment in at least two out of three social interaction, communication, repetitive behavior, and interest patterns. So this autistic behavior that we are observing in children today is not new. It was noted at the turn of the last century. It was just extraordinarily rare, and doctors didn't know where it came from. Dr. Guy Danes made a presentation to the Royal Society of Medicine in 1956 in which he described children who became difficult after they contracted measles or an attack of gastroenteritis, and explained that he'd been putting these children on a gluten-free diet, which resolved the situation, and he termed this condition pre-celiac condition. So it was documented that exposure to measles or gastroenteritis could result in changes in behavior. So the idea that there's a connection between the gut and brain function, also not new. 60-some years ago, we were hearing about this. Dane's reports were consistent with records showing that autistic birth rates, children born with the condition, have been linked to measles and meningitis, inflammation of the lining of the brain during pregnancy. So there have been clues throughout medical history that that we probably should have been paying attention to. Wakefield also cites several studies beginning in 1968 that showed a relationship between bowel disorders and autistic behaviors. The press and the medical authorities who have tried to destroy Wakefield have tried to convince the public that when he published his article in The Lancet, which we'll be talking about next, that this was new information, but it wasn't. Wakefield and his colleagues were not the first or the only medical professionals to investigate this link. So tomorrow we'll start talking about the actual paper that's caused this whole uproar in The Lancet. But the bottom line from a foundational standpoint is that a connection between vaccines and autism was well established long before Wakefield ever started his research. And the idea that behaviors could be linked, that brain function could be linked to gut function, and that behavior could be affected by measles, meningitis, etc., has already been established. So he really was not responsible for this, although they've tried to blame it on him. And one of the reasons is because vaccination rates are down and medical authorities need a scapegoat. So in tomorrow's installment, we'll start talking about the paper in question and why it caused such an uproar and what it says versus what other people say that it says, etc. If you are inclined, you might want to go to the Lancet's website and look it up. You'll see there's a big red retracted sign on it, and I'll explain why that is tomorrow. But if you want to read the paper yourself, you'll see that so much of what's being said about it is wrong. So I'll start with that tomorrow morning. That's all for now, and have a great day.